Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and it is Friday. That's right, for all of us Southerners out there, that means fried chicken, fried fries, French fries, and for people our age, like broiled fish and hot sauce on if it's Pat, the producer of VFN Radio program, the man with the mic noise. Strange things happen with his mic. Joining me is Pat Hamilton, the producer of VFN Radio program.
Hello.
And the old man hat dude, old before his age. No, he's a young man. John Ramos.
Good morning.
Hello. We give a shout out to all of our listeners out there, all of our new listeners that have joined us. Sitting in our virtual stadium, I want to welcome Mary and Sandra and Don and Ronnie and Daryl and Diana and Steven and Deanna and Steve and Gabrielle and another Steve, James, Meredith. So many of you. We just want to welcome all of you to the VFN Radio audience. We call it the virtual stadium. Imagine thousands of us sitting and listening to an encouraging word, light from the Word of God, hope. And at a time it seems like they're so hopeless. We're not hopeless. We got God. Be encouraged. We'll give a shout out this morning to Texas. Gina, thank you so much for filling me in on the name of that program. Also, we'll give a shout out to New York. Good morning, Joanne. Keep them healthy. Give a shout out down to South Florida. Have a blessed day, Cindy. I want to encourage everybody out there, don't forget it's a flu season, so don't let it come your way. As simple as washing your hands and telling everybody else to wash their hands and say, don't cough on me, can change 2013 for you. We're going to be talking about the former vice president, the man that was like 400 votes away from being the president of the United States, just sold his business to terrorists. His media empire, he sold it to terrorists. What's going on in America? Hopeful words from the Word of God. We're going to tell you how to stand for God and so much more. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me to encourage you on this Friday is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, here we are. It is Friday. It does fly. And it does fry. Isn't it exciting? I mean, it's, you know, nice chilly air down on the Gulf Coast, like around 82 degrees down here. You know what I'm saying? You're right. Chris's forehead never lies. It's totally amazing how that works. It just crinkles up and says, oh, you're wrong. It's a forehead rebuke. That's what it is. Oh, I'm not going to say
take
nothing.
That.
But his forehead's going, not true, not true. It comes from smoking his Bible in those early days. I want to say happy birthday to everybody's birthday it is today. I want to say also that, James, you know, our prayers have been going out to you and your coworkers and the family of your boss. I mean, how suddenly, you know, at 35 years old to be able to lose, you know, your boss. I mean, that's just a young age to be able to pass. You just never know how long we have.
Yeah,
and I just want you to know that our heart goes out to you, her family, and co-workers right there. It is a time for us to realize that, you know, that's exactly, you know, when these towers fell and everybody's talking to Jesus about these towers falling, you know, Jesus said, no. This is to let you know that you're not going to live forever. And there's going to be a day that, you know, we're going to instantly, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with God. And so tomorrow, today, you know, if we were to pass today, if we were to fall and lose our last breath, that we'd be in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And the question is, will we have regrets? Will we have regrets, or will we be going, yeah, this is so wonderful, I'm glad to be here? Or will we just kind of like holding our head down going like, I know I live my life for me, and all that stuff now means is meaningless, but it's a little late revelation because I left all that behind. Because when a man dies, the only thing they normally he takes with him or she takes with him is just whatever people choose to bury with them.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, there's nothing else. As a matter of fact, people line up to be able to get the things that you had you know, and they, you know, Jesus talked about the guy coming to him and said, you know, my brother won't share my inheritance with him. He's going, you know, what are you talking about?
And what to do with that?
It's just amazing. The thing is that what Jesus is telling us is that you can't take anything with you. I mean, the rich man that was out, you know, that all day, all his whole life, he lived for himself, and he passed Lazarus outside the gates of his home, never paid attention to him. Well, he paid close attention to him when he died, because instantly he was with God, and he was looking at Lazarus, who was in a better place than him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it all just instantly, your life, it's like your books get balanced in the throne room of God. And ever how we lived our life at that one moment, and there was this rich man, you see, his name was, who's called him the rich man, and Lazarus, and Lazarus had a lot of sores on him. He was a homeless man who was sick, and things were so different then. And it's still that way in a lot of the earth, but in America, it's a very blessed nation. But he would just beg for money, and he was outside this man's house, and this man just didn't pay much attention to him. He didn't share his things with him. He didn't think it was a big priority, this guy out here in the front, but he didn't understand God. You know, with God, everybody's important.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, especially the least amongst us, is very important to him. And of course, when they both died, the Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham. He's with God. But the rich man who had all the stuff and things and everything that he thought was so important, he left all that behind, and now he was in hell.
Right.
And it was so tormenting. He's saying, listen, can you go back and tell all my friends and my family and all the people that I lived the wrong life in front of them? Can you tell them that I was wrong?
Mm.
That if they don't start living for the Lazarists, if they don't start living and paying attention to the homeless and the hungry and the needy and sharing their stuff. I mean, think about this. I mean, this is a huge paradigm shift for America, because according to George Barna, 97% of the regular church attenders who attend their gatherings at least once every 2 weeks don't share their stuff even with God. Is that not right? I mean, is that what he says? He says 97%, or basically only 3%, according to George Barna with the Barna Group, did a study of regular church attenders who gather once every 2 weeks, that they don't tithe, which means they don't even give God what's his.
Right.
Right.
Man, Lord, remove the blinders from our eyes. I mean, Jesus wasn't talking about the tithe with this rich man. He was talking about sharing his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how is stealing God's tithe going to weigh out in the gates of heaven? A lot of people tell you what it is, but why don't you get in the Word of God and find out what God says about it?
Yeah.
Because if we won't share what God's blessed us with the homeless or with the needy or even with God.
Yeah. Well, Malachi says, you know, you offer me blemished sacrifices. And God's like, if I'm your father, where's my honor? And it's a really serious thing that the Lord saw there, especially when he's talking to the Levites. He said, you got to honor me. You got to honor me with what I have commanded you to honor.
That's what it boils down to, is it honor?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it boils down to, is honor.
Absolutely.
Everybody, it's like, that has nothing to do with money. Listen, God wanted our stuff. He could take it instantly. It's all his.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it's like, you're not even acknowledging that I exist or that I gave it to you, that I blessed the work of your hands, that I caused America, for example, to be one of the blessed, most blessed nations on the face of the earth. And you're not even sharing with me what's mine.
Right.
The tithes and the offerings.
In
like,
fact, you're robbing me.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He said robbing. And then he begins even to rebuke the Pharisees about how they were manipulating all of his stuff and saying, listen, you got to do both of them. He said, you got to honor your father and your mother and honor God with the first fruits, with the tithes. He said, both of them. And he said, you're nullifying everything. You're just making, it's just all for naught. You're making my word of non-effect because you're bringing your traditions in and you're just twisting everything. But the whole thing, this is my concern part about the whole thing. And we're saved by grace. We're not saved because we did something. But you got to question the fact that if I say Jesus is the loving Lord of my life, I've given my life to him, would I not consider honoring him?
Mm.
I mean, you know, not even just with my finances, but with my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
With my life. We think about when Jesus was talking and gathering a few people around him to teach them to be fishers of men. He just looked to Peter and Andrew and just said, come, follow me. Hmm. And they dropped the way they make money. They just dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't sit there and say, well, you know, let me figure out how to sell these nets and kind of do a business merger with somebody and get some sort of annuities going. And they just dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got too much stuff. There's way too much stuff in America. And hence, there's so many considerations when, you know, you're having to make decisions because how am I going to keep my stuff?
Mm.
How am I going to keep my things? You know, mm-hmm. we've never lived in a tent. You know,
and
you
our 46,000 storages spread across the country.
which aren't we? 46,000 storage units. But in all the world, what percentage?
Well, it's 56. There's 56,000. There's about 56,000
in the world.
It's about yeah, in the world. So the United States has 46,000 of those 56,000 storages in the United States.
So out of 56,000 in the world, we have 46,000 of them.
Yep. Wow. They say 1 out of 10 households has a storage unit for their stuff. And the storage industry says that most of the stuff that's in the storage is just junk that most people refuse to just get rid of. We just keep hoarding and hoarding and hoarding.
Instead of just giving it to someone.
Right. And they know it. The storage industry knows it, but just people don't want to get rid of their stuff. They want to just keep hoarding it all.
Well, I do want to say, first of all, if you do have a storage unit, you're not a sinner. They're like, oh my goodness, I got a storage unit. But think about this, too. If there's something that we're not going to use, why not just give it to somebody?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as you guys can attest, I give everything.
I know.
No, don't give
it away. Stop. We need that.
The benefit of not seeing everything helps you. No, that's your lung. But it's just, you know, it's just freeing just to just hold everything loosely. Yeah. That if God gave it to you, then you know you can sow it. You can give it to someone because you don't know your day could be called tomorrow. You could, you know, be like this 35-year-old boss where she's just falls dead,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. There's nothing else you could do at that point. It's just, you know, it's it. There's nothing else. And if you spent everything like the rich young ruler on yourself, and you were planning like a lot of Americans have in regards to my pensions and all the stuff we talked about yesterday. If you missed yesterday, you got to find out about pensions and what's going to happen in 46 states. You can find out more about listening to yesterday's program. But 46 states are supposedly do not have the funds to pay any of these pensions that are coming due this year. Well, what's coming due this year also? Baby boomers are retiring. 10,000 a day or something like that.
Oh yeah,
that's everything's coming due. At the same time, we have our president running around with the American Visa card, you know, not only charging, maxing it out, but running to China and say, hey, can you add credit limit to the American Visa program? Mm. And we're fixing to borrow more billions of dollars. And it's like this whole thing is happening before our very eyes. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't, to go to VFN TV and watch these prophetic teachings to encourage you to tell you this is not a surprise. This is actually God's got his the ones who've been wanting to reach the world. You finally got them where you want to be. Mm. You know, it's like Paul standing before King Agrippa, and here he is chained up, and he wasn't worried about it standing in front of King Agrippa. He says, thinking, I got the king right where I want him. Mm-hmm. Now he's listening to me,
right?
And the king says, you almost convinced me. Listen, we're in a day right now where the vice president, the former vice president of the United States, he was the vice president for Bill Clinton, for America.
One heartbeat away.
Do what?
One heartbeat away.
One heartbeat away. And, you know, it was yes. And he ran for president, and he was almost a little less than 400 votes away from being the president of the United States during George Bush's second term. Remember the hanging Chad situation in Florida?
Oh, yes.
And the Supreme Court had to rule whether Vice President Al Gore was going to be the president or George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they're the one that presented the case before the court.
Yeah.
Thank God. But think about it, God knew this day. And he knew. This guy, so a couple years later, after trying to convince everybody the world's ending because of the polar ice melt thing,
mm-hmm.
that he starts a network called, I guess, called Link Network. Current Network, where I believe it's in like 47,000 homes, and it has like 26,000 viewers anytime. 46 million homes. and it has like 26,000 viewers at any time. Even cable news networks are going, that's really bad. That's really bad.
Right.
And so he was wanting to sell his company for whatever reason. It's a very liberal. It's very, you know, the negative direction where our company's going now, that's where, you know, current is focused in the area. That's why nobody's watching it. Mm-hmm. That's why no liberal talk shows make it. You know, they're like, you're going to kill us. And anyway, so this is a man who said that he's worried about the world being destroyed by everything heating up, global warming. And then he goes and sells his current media network, which was on, I believe, Warner Brothers cable system. That's how they had 47 million homes. And he sells it to Al Jazeera, which is reportedly or allegedly a terrorist organization. At the least, they support terrorism and Al-Qaeda, and they're the ones that were playing all those videos from all these ones that were saying these negative things. And they openly stated, allegedly, and it's reported, that they hate America.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying not to raise my voice because it probably just kind of busts your speakers. Our vice president just sold a media access, the voice and the video access to 47 million homes to the terrorist, to an alleged terrorist organization who has the media capabilities to be able to start feeding in those 47 million homes and get more than 26,000 viewers for $100 million. And he did it before the close of 2012 so he can get the tax write-off.
And
he's part of the party that's saying, listen, raise their taxes. You should have waited to January 1st so you can give more of that to the needy.
That's right. I'm just can't afford it, right?
I'm just talking about your fair share.
Exactly.
But the whole thing, a man who was less than 400 votes away from being the president of the United States, was vice president for 8 years under President Bill Clinton.
And a senator before that.
And he just sold media access, visual access to 47 million homes in America. It's reported also, which I'm very encouraged by this, that I believe it's Warner Brothers who has it, that they removed Current from their lineup, and they're not going to give them that kind of access.
Wow.
Which they just paid $100 million for
nothing.
And then interesting, too, the Al Jazeera's, they get all their money from the oil money, which produces all the heat, which actually comes against global warming. It's like, you didn't mind taking the oil money, but you've been dogging the oil companies. I was like,
crazy.
Are you serious? It's like, and the thing is that nobody's really, I mean, yeah, if you listen to certain conservative broadcasts or news, you can hear something, but nobody's really openly saying anything. It's like, oh, or for example, with the Sandy, the give me the town.
Eight.
What's that? Newtown?
Newton.
Yeah, Newtown. And with the shooting that took place and the massacre. We got to quit calling these evil people who grab guns and massacre people shooters, because shooting is not wrong, target shooting and that type of thing. But they're going and massacring people. And we're going to talk more about Pavlov's dog a little bit. But these actors made a video immediately and started acting out and saying, you know, one actor after another, showing their faces and saying that we've got to stop this. We got to have gun control. This is just, you know, the next, those guys, you know, got to do something.
The next person comes on to try to make a Hollywood deal, you know, it's name by name, Newton, Colorado, Newtown.
You know, there was those movies years ago where, you know, this lady's falling in love with this man or whatever, and he's going to say something, and there's black and white movies, and she would look at him, and she would just go, shh, don't say nothing. Because if he's going to say something, he's going to run it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these actors, like, shh, don't say nothing. We're finding out what you're made of. I was like, oh, my goodness, you're a sleeper cell. Anyway, so then right after that, because we're so blinded, we don't even see this, somebody goes on, and we'll make this available on the VFN Torch for you. You can go to VFNTV.com. But they took that movie that same next day and these actors like Jamie Foxx, mm-hmm. who's saying, oh, please don't, you know, we got to stop this, got gun controls, and you'll see it. Then all of a sudden, instead of going to the next actor, they just clip a segment in there that has all of his movies, clips of his movies, where he's murdering people, massacring people, shooting them, blowing. And it's like, and then it goes to the next actor who says that statement as if it means something, and it goes to their movies. Mm-hmm. And listen, it's Hollywood and these games and all these different things that are just pushing all these imageries into everybody's face, but definitely these young, moldable minds who are just taking it on a daily basis. We're going to talk about those digital games in just a moment after this break. Do you know there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America? The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-outright attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down, the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, what's so amazing about abiding is not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh my goodness. Hears from God. You know, she learns to abide, and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's just it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord, and how they can spend time with God, and how they can abide, and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful, you know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago, and as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and that's openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey's being blessed, the Bronx, you know, in New York's being blessed, and so many people are being blessed because she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iabide.org.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see. And something you couldn't record it, maybe. You couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time, Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the first hour is Pat and John. We were talking about the shootings that are taking place, the massacre that took place, let me reword that, up in Newtown. And today is the day that the children go back to a brand new school. They renamed the school their school. I believe it's called Sandy Elementary. And they just, the whole town came together and just did a wonderful thing about working, painting, creating security systems. It's probably the safest school in the world right now.
Yeah.
And which is totally wonderful. And how they're going to be able to, and the principal that was there that retired 2 years prior to that, she's back. They even used similar desks, and they set try to set everything up where the children can have the most peace. You know, I personally believe they should have had a separate rooms so the parents could go sit in those rooms while their kids were in the in other classes, because the parents are going through just as much turmoil now because they're having, you know, trust my kid to the government and the school system.
Right.
You know, I need to be there somewhere in the midst of this. They should have created some place where the parents could just kind of stay on campus.
Yeah.
And kind of out of sight, and maybe the kids wouldn't necessarily know about it. But these poor, I was watching this poor mother that I could just empathize how she's feeling. It's like to let you go and get on this bus or go in this building. I mean, that's, I was thinking, man, it would have been good to have the parents, a place for them to go, not to sit hovering over the classroom, because that would cause the kids not to get the experience they need to be able to break any kind of mindsets. But it's just like, oh my goodness, it's really tough. We need to remember them in our prayers, the parents and the children. But when you think about what happened, people started using words like shooter and shooter, when they describe these people who come in and do these massacres in these schools and these malls. We need to call it a massacre. We need to call it killer. We don't need to call it shooter. Shooting is not evil. Shooting is how you get dinner. Shooting is what you do in sports. Shooting is what you do when you're in a paintball type thing. Shooting is what you do at the fair when you're trying to win a stuffed animal. You know, shooting is what you do when you're out deer hunting or you're out hunting squirrel. And but massacre is not what you do when you're hunting for deer. Massacre is when people come in and just kill her. They just start doing this mass killings. And I immediately, you know, I was just talking about it prior to the break. That, you know, these actors like Jamie Foxx and other ones, they got together, or somebody got them together and started making a video or a movie right away, a commercial spot, to be able to begin to push the agenda. And that's what's going on now. They want to push the agenda. They're messing with the First Amendment. Now they're messing with the Second. And they're wanting to have gun control. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about one actor after another going, listen, you know, Jamie Foxx would come on. He says, listen, we need to do something about this. Matter of fact, we're going to make this video available to you, hopefully, on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch to see it. But you got to see it, because one actor after another, you know, says the same thing basically from a different viewpoint. We need gun control, need gun control, need gun control. Well, you know, it's kind of, I really believe that the minds of men, they are blinded. That's what Paul tells us, that the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the mind of the unbeliever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my goodness, your mind is blind. Because these are the guys that make movies with mass massacres in them. And they are the actual ones who are doing the killing. And so what somebody did, I don't know who it was, but they took the very same commercial and they edited in between the actors some segments of the movies they were in as they are the one doing the massacres. I mean, evil things these actors are doing. Mm-hmm. And playing in people's homes and on their televisions and the theaters and all the media devices where they're streaming these movies. What's it, Netflix and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. This evilness has come. It's them. Mm-hmm. And you see it. You can see that Jamie Foxx, who makes that one statement, but when they clip in his movies, he's blowing a man's head off. He's shooting somebody in the heart. He's cold killing everything. There's a statement saying he's going to kill all the white people or something like that they have in there. And everybody's applauding, and then they have some other actor say something, and it's like, you're the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're the problem. And I think about, you know, Pavlo's dog, you know, Ivan Pavlo, when you think about his studies, and from what I understand, this is what happened, was that one of the things that he did was he would ring a bell. He's trying to find out how we work and how our bodies receive things or whatever, and he had a dog. And the dog, he would ring a bell, and then he would feed the dog. And then he would ring the bell, and he'd feed the dog. Mm-hmm. To the point when he would ring the bell, the dog would automatically begin to salivate. Because the bell to him meant there was about to be food.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we work. You know it is. You know about. You know how, that's how we work. You know, when I think about my days in law enforcement, we did virtual training. We had to set things up, and we had to go through scenarios. And today's technology, where they basically are going through video experiences, to be able to see what it's like and train so they're ready to kill someone when they have to kill someone and not kill the other person. They're trained to do that. And, you know, based on my understanding, when I was just listening recently to someone who has the experience in reviewing what happened in each of these school shootings over the years, that these guys, these young boys, these young kids, they're so well trained in shooting that they're hitting their mark every single time. Nobody shoots like that. I worked with law enforcement for 10 years. Ooh. There was deputies didn't shoot anywhere near that because they didn't have that kind of training that these young people have. These young people today train 4 to 5 hours a day, or whatever, how many hours they're staying on those virtual training machines that are causing them to salivate, mm-hmm. you know, when these things happen, and it's creating in them, you know, ever how a man thinks he is, so is he in his heart. You can't kill people all day long. You can't mm-hmm. kill them all day long in your head and in your heart and think that in your heart you're not going to have murder in your heart.
Right.
Proof positive. You can't watch pornography all day long and think you're going to be pure.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. how we're designed.
Right.
Jesus said this. He says, if you've done it in your heart, you've done it. Mm-hmm. So you can't do that. You can't sit here and play a game where you're running from a police officer and he's chasing you in this virtual world and you're going through all those feelings of escaping and running and driving through traffic, and it's so virtual now, it's so real that it's you're salivating like Pavlov's dog. And then all of a sudden the first thing that hits you, the same way that it would hit an officer, is what you've been training to do.
Mm.
And so I would say, based on my experience in law enforcement, based on Pavlov's experiment, based on, you know, a former psych teacher at, I won't bring him up. Just based on reality, based on my experience in military, when they train me to do what I do in the military and what they're training people to do to kill, they had to train people to kill. You know, in World War II, based on, that they did, people just couldn't kill people. It was hard. That's a good thing. Today, I don't think it's going to be a problem.
Right.
But people just couldn't pull the trigger. And they realized, we're going to have to help people break that barrier inside them. So they begin to practice, instead of having targets like, round
mm-hmm.
targets, circle targets, they started having mm-hmm. silhouettes of human beings.
Uh-huh.
And the targets had to look like human. They had to get used to what it's like to shoot the human. And think about it, in World War II, you know, there was so much inside of a man good, even though
wow.
that he could not see himself killing another man.
Wow.
And today we have children. This is a new thing. This is not something that's been going. We have a new thing. The children are going in, and not only do they have no issue with killing one child, but they kill the next one, and the next one, and the next one, And this is pretty graphic, and you don't want to hear this. You probably want to step aside, but not turn your radio off for a moment. But coming from the experience, I remember I'll just talk about one incident where a man was shot with a shotgun, an adult shot with a shotgun in his face. And it was removed. There was nothing there.
Mm.
So when you see this shooter going into these schools like Columbine, going into the library, and he takes that young kid and points a shotgun at that young kid and shoots him or her in the face, it's removed. And they begin to gasp for air, and they go through all this turmoil, and as they're going into this dying process, but then he goes to another one. There's nothing inside of him that connected that you just murdered a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does another one. And then he shoots another one. Nothing connects that this is evil. This is bad. You just took a life. And that's Columbine. That was technology way ago. And today, the videos and the murder and it's just every day they just come home and they just start shooting people and grabbing wire and choking people out. And they pick the weapons and they pick the evil, how they want to do away with life. And there's a way in games that's reported that, you know, when you have to, you play a game, you say, let's just start over again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way you do that is you go ahead, instead of them killing you, you kill yourself. And then the game starts over again once you die. You know, I haven't privy to, but I was in law enforcement. I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the real deal, not the virtual deal. Mm-hmm. But And I had to stay on top of my own home. And when those things are coming with kids, I'd have to say, no, you're not here. Did it, you know, you never know what, but you got to stand up and say what's right, even though it may not be followed. You just can't have your kids killing people all day long. We're training killers. I'm telling you, we're training killers. We're training killers right now in this one moment in time in American history. We are training our young people, and there's grown folk too that are playing it all day long. But the moldable mind of a young person, that we're training them to kill. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, some people played chess. Some people played checkers. You know, some people played asteroids. And some people played murder. I mean, it's just, it's like, what's the difference in murdering or pornography? What's the difference in you shooting? I'm not talking about you're in some shooting game, not a murdering game, not a massacre game, but a shooting game where you're shooting deer, where you're, you know, you're shooting that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But when you're actually shooting and killing people, this is just not right.
Mm.
And it changes the human psyche, just like it did Pavlov's dog. The bell rang, he salivated. When somebody puts a real gun in their hand after virtually practicing killing people for so long, they begin to salivate. They begin to experience everything. And the fact that you could shoot one is terrible, but the fact that you could see that and go to another person and do that is the epitome of evil. Mm. And we are training millions, millions, millions. Well, what's going to happen if the power goes out? Well, in New York, they'll just go break into houses where the guns are because they know where they're at, right?
Since they've been published, right.
Since they've been published. And begin to continue to play the game, but now do it real. Mm. I mean, these kids, according to one of those experts in Columbine, that this kid was an expert shot. Every single shot landed. Mm. Every single shot landed. That don't even happen with officers. Check out what happened at the Empire State Building, you know, last year. With NYPD, right?
Yeah.
But every shot landed. That's just amazing. What are we doing? We have to understand a monster has been created in America. It's based off of greed because somebody's making money off selling that game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, somebody's making money off of, you know, getting somebody addicted to that and are driven by that. And it's the breakdown of the family. It's going to boil down to, you know, the church. We're going to have to begin to be the family again. We got to quit trying to be podiatrists and neurosurgeons and whatever. We're going to have to get back to be the whole family again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ushering your children off to the whatever, and ushering your wife off to the whatever, and the husband off to the whatever. We got to come together again and learn how to be family. The plumb line for America is a repentant church walking before God. They're the value plumb line where we begin to live in the values of God. It's not going to change because we make some laws. It's not going to change. And I was just listening to a presidential historian, you know, talking about, you know, most presidents have always lived not for some agenda per se. They just live for that one day. Whatever the numbers were saying, whatever the masses were saying at that time, they could not go further than a day in their planning because there were so many focal groups and all the stuff that would come in that they had to put these fires out. They don't even go further than a day. That kind of government is not going to solve this problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to solve it. It's just not going to solve it at all. So I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you now to begin to pray about saying, you know, I'm going to make my home a safe home. I'm going to make my home a safe home. Does that mean that, you know, your children are going to not sneak out and, you know, or sneak in some sort of whatever? Well, they have to do it against your will. You know, let you have a will that says, you know, not in my house. Does that mean if you stand out and tell the world, nobody's going to steal my car?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't mean... No, but your car's not going to be stolen. It means that you don't want your car stolen, and you made a stand for that. And if it gets stolen, it's stolen against your will. You need to have a godly will in your home and say, listen, this is how our home's going to be. It doesn't mean that that's how it's going to go, but take a stand for God. Take a stand for what's right. It's time for us to begin to really think about redoing, rebooting, going back to the original tent. And the key to America turning is for the church to take a stand. And we'll talk about that in just a moment.
Wow. At BFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to BFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcast.
You know, when I start thinking about Promise Keepers and the days that Coach McCartney heard from the Lord under the unction of God, he's riding with one of his friends, they're riding down the road, and they just said, you know, we got to get some men together. And it started with two of them saying, yeah, we got to do it. And the next year it started with 40, and the next year it started with a few more. And next thing you know, men were meeting all over the nation, meeting in small groups of men who were had a focused theme of doing what's right before God. And with that, eventually, these men came together and filled stadiums all around the nation. It was just a powerful thing. I can't explain it. Unless you were there, I just can't explain how powerful it was. There's something so powerful about men going after God, people going after God like that. But you know what? You know, when we came out of the stadiums, it just seemed like things began to die out. The very things that happened in the stadiums, it just started going away. And we began to seek the Lord, and we were wondering, we don't want this to stop. What, the people that we saw alive in the stadiums were now going back into lethargicness and spiritual bondage again. What's going on? You know, what's the next step? And that's exactly what the Lord had led me to do. It's called today, Next Step Outback, where it's taken fathers and sons in the wilderness, fatherless sons and mentors, to be able to repent before God for not turning our hearts to our sons and our son's heart not to the father. And it was just a powerful time that God came down for almost 10 years. And where he met us in the wilderness, we went out to meet him, and it was just a powerful thing. But again, when we left the wilderness, the power of God experience, all the things that happened there, the same thing happened. Men went back into the traditional expression of what's going on. They fell back asleep again. They walked around like zombies when you'd see them in the stores and the different places. And it's like, you were alive. What happened to you? And they say right now today that over 20% of Christian women and 50% of Christian men are bound by an addiction to pornography. Listen, this is not working. We have to do something different. It makes me think about Billy Graham. We think about Billy Graham. You know, he had stadiums filled, you know, one stadium at a time, filled with people to come and to preach the gospel to them. And it would take about 9 months to be able to do the hard work, the groundwork, to be able to fill that stadium. And he'd preach the gospel really once or that one weekend, and it would change lives. It's time for us, think about it, it's time for us to begin to do the groundwork. And what VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, think of it like this. It's a virtual audience where Billy Graham, an awesome man of God, preached the gospel like he did, and it just transformed a nation. We got to begin to do that now, but we can fill a virtual stadium. The audience of VFN TV and the daily radio program, we're not just once, not just one weekend, but every single day, whether it's on an iPhone or an Android or a computer or a smart TV, whether it's on a Facebook or some social media, it's just everywhere. It's going out preaching the gospel every single day for those who sit down, because once you sit down once in the virtual audience, you're actually get a chance to hear every single day the hope and the light of the gospel. And with that, what we found out that by sharing this with others in the almost a 1/6 of the world's population now is in social media, like 1 billion people, that spending $1 in the context of getting it out to them, that at least $1 brings in approximately, this is what we're finding out, these numbers now, that one person comes and sits down in our virtual audience. But they don't just sit down for a day or a weekend. They sit down continually for the entire year. And every single day, we get to let them know about the hope, the light of the gospel, preach hope to them. Yes, for $1. Think about it. You can help fill this virtual stadium. When we fill this virtual stadium, I believe we're going to fill stadiums around the nation. I've seen the stadiums. The founder of God TV, she prophesied these stadiums will be filled. Listen, but it will start with us doing the groundwork like Reverend Billy Graham did. You can participate. Think about it. For $1,
you can potentially have one person sit down in this virtual state and begin to hear the gospel and transform their life. For $10 a month, you could sit 10 new people in this stadium every single month. $100 a month, 100 new people every single month. At the end of the month, end of the year, you would have sat over 1,200 people in the virtual stadium. Totally awesome. It's time. It's our season. Let's do it. Let's do the groundwork now in the virtual stadium so we can fill the stadiums tomorrow. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on help fill the virtual stadiums. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Help fill the virtual stadiums now. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Welcome back. Joining me is Pat and John. So what's happening, man?
Oh man, so much is going on, dude. So much. I don't know if you had a chance to see this, but we talked about Ray Kurzweil not too long ago with the artificial intelligence, and the New York Times is reporting that Ray Kurzweil just got a new job. You'll never guess who he's working with.
Who?
Or for Google. And now Google hired him up. And he says that they're going to have an unlimited amount of resources available to him. If you remember, we talked about Ray Kurzweil in a segment that we have on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and go select the Torch, and it's called Mark of the Beast. Is there an app for that? And Ray Kurzweil is this thinker, this innovator, who's now written a book about how to create a mind, but he's had all these predictions about how intelligence and computers and technology and all the things are going to be advancing. And he's the one that basically was saying that, you know, there's going to come a day that when we try to turn off the computer's going to say, please don't turn me off. It's going to talk back to us.
I'm lonely.
Right. Well, New York Times is reporting that Google hired him up, and he says that he's going to have an unlimited amount of resources.
Is this the dude? Is this the dude that we were talking about? They hired him?
Yes,
I thought he's the one that actually was working. Oh, he's probably doing some contract work for him.
Well, it's...
This is the one that wrote the book, The Building of a Mind.
Yes.
Listen, we're going to be talking more about that in the future because we're going to have to, as believers, avoid artificial intelligence like the plague. Now, not things like we're using technology to communicate and that type of thing, but in regards to replacing your brain with artificial intelligence, you're going to have to think. You're going to have to put down the GPS and pick out the map and figure out how to get somewhere. Even you can use the two, but just realize don't forego learning how to use a map.
Yeah, absolutely. So they had this. So someone who was at this event that they had where he was being interviewed about this new project that they're going to be working on, and they were just basically saying just watch what's going to happen with all this data. He has unlimited resources, and I'm trying to find the exact quote for you, but basically what he was telling them is that, listen, we know everything that people are doing. Google knows what you're searching, what you're reading, what your email, what you're like, and basically they're going to take all that information and continue to do this artificial intelligence, and no telling what's going to be next, but people are really looking to see what's going to happen because a lot of his major predictions about, you know, technology has come to pass. He was the one that created the first synthesizer keyboard. So it's been.
It was a singer. He's blind.
Stevie Wonder.
He challenged him.
Mm. Yeah.
He challenged him, and that's right.
He made it.
He definitely made it. Now he's the one. To make a mind. He broke it down to a simple thing. I don't want to go into how he explained how it works, but the thing about it is you can study a piano all day long and how it's designed and everything, mm-hmm. but you're still going to have somebody who has the heart to create music, you know, somebody that is involved in participating in the process. And, but everything that God has done, the adversary is now working through mankind trying to, well, if he made Eve from a rib, I'm going to take the DNA from a dog or a sheep or a person, mm-hmm. and I'm going to create a person.
Right.
I mean, everything you can totally imagine, it seems like that's what's going on in this particular day, rapidly too, because he talks about it. When he talks about it, he says, everybody thinks linearly. Everybody thinks linearly. You know, first this, then that, then this, then that. Right. He says, but the truth is, technology works exponentially.
Well, look how far technology has come by. I mean, I remember years ago we would say, oh, yeah, in year 2000, we're going to actually have a phone that you can actually be able to see someone. I don't know if you remember that. That used to be a big deal. We're going to be talking video when everyone was thinking about
bad
a
invention.
Phone maybe in their house. All those Star Trek devices, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Yeah, isn't it something?
Think about it. But now we're doing it, and it's on your cell phone like it's no big deal. But that was huge. When we were coming up, we're thinking, can you imagine the day we're going to actually watch each other while we're talking on the telephone? You know,
I remember being in a business meeting in Texas, and I was in the telecommunication business then, and they were talking about casting vision for it. And there will be a phone. Your phone number will be able to follow you everywhere you go. It's like, whoa, we are in the cutting edge technology, you know. Little did we know, it's a cell phone.
Yeah, right.
It goes everywhere you go. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but right now, the flu reported by CBN is the flu shot that's been given, and I encourage you to get it. Get with your doctor, whether you get it or not, but I would say get it. But it's a strain of flu that's going on right now. And guess what they do is they predict the flu is by this year's flu off of last year's flu. So they make the potion for this year based off what happened last year. So if a new strain comes in between those times, they can miss it. Mm-hmm. But right now, listen up.
The flu season is off to an incredible start. The World Health Organization reports more people have been infected in recent weeks than at the worst point last year. And in fact, in some cases, even those who have gotten the flu shot are getting sick. It's an early outbreak, and across the country, hospitals are being hit hard.
They just ache all over. They have fevers, they are congested, they have coughs. There's a lot of people who have these same sort of symptoms we see, you know, all throughout the day and all throughout the night.
Doctors say the flu season hasn't hit this hard and fast in a decade. Take a look at the numbers. In Arizona this time last year, there were only 18 cases of flu. Today, there are 790. In New York, 84 cases last year. Today, almost 4,000. Officials say it's best to treat yourself at home if possible. But as the number of cases increase, emergency rooms are becoming overwhelmed.
Not only is it flu season, the ER is also handling all the other cases and everything else that comes into the ER on an annual basis.
Obviously, the wait times have increased.
The Southeast has been hit especially hard. But in the wake of a busy travel season, it's quickly spreading across the country. And for those who got the flu shot and are still coming down with the flu, experts say some people don't respond to the vaccine and some people just aren't fully protected. But doctors say it's still important to get the shot because your symptoms may not be as severe if you've been vaccinated.
I would urge everyone, not just for themselves, but for their friends, neighbors, and relatives, and their children, to get vaccinated right away.
With the flu virus, you're infectious a full day before you ever show any symptoms. So experts say, along with the flu shot, it's important to wash your hands and avoid large groups of people to avoid infection.
Doctors are warning that seniors over the age of 65, children under the age of 5, and anyone considered immunocompromised are most at risk for developing a serious case of the flu.
I'm telling you, we've been hearing again and again and again, this hasn't happened in a decade. This hadn't happened in a century. This is the first time this has happened in 100 years. Listen, prepare yourself for these type of things. And one way to prepare yourself is to go get a flu shot. You know, you can go to the local drugstores. They have signs out everywhere coming to get your flu shot. A lot of it's free. Mm-hmm. And if not, you just pay a couple dollars for it. It's actually probably going to be cheaper than having all those medications you have to get if you start getting the runny nose and the tissues and all the things you have to go through. And plus, it's a way to take care of your family. I want to encourage you, too, that when you gather as the church and you're coming together in your workplace also, but, you know, we're also talking to all the churches out there, you know, think about that, you know, realize you want to love your brother and your sister and how you cough and how you sneeze. You know, those type of things can transfer things. And so you should cough you pull your arm up and cough like into your bicep part of your sleeve and sneeze in that particular area. And then wash your hands, even though you feel like you have washed your hands, wash your hands again. Think about it. I'm loving everybody else by washing my hands. And you might get a virus, but think about this. You may go down to a particular mall or something, and your hand may roll down this particular rail, and you pick it up. But then you think, well, I don't have a cold or nothing. And mm-hmm. so you're not going to wash your hands. But then you go prepare some food or you touch something else of that nature. And all of a sudden it you know, transfers. It's mm-hmm. just a simple thing. It's just real wisdom to be able to, mm-hmm. I mean, some of these things do happen to us. And, you know, God heals all of our diseases. But he also made preparation, if you read in the Old Testament, that how to actually stay hygienically healthy. And yeah. There's some common sense things that we can do and really think about it. Let's get through this flu season without, I mean, 790 cases compared to like 16 cases. Think about it. Last year, I mean, something's going on. So I want to encourage you. You can see this. We're going to make this video available to you from CBN News about the flu on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.